Right now, you'll see the most gorgeous lady sitting with me in studio.
It's true.
Sylvia Colville. She's written a book, Behold the Bride, referring to Matthew 25:4, but the wise virgins took oil in their vessels with their lamps. So we're going to have this wonderful discussion, not only about someone writing a book, but that someone's life that inspired us getting there. Sylvia, hello. How are you?
Hello, you. How are you?
I'm doing fine and fabulous, but that's not the question.
I'm excited to be here. What can I say? This is like such an opportunity. Woo, woo.
There's a huge difference from writing something on your own, isolated in 2020 with some, you know, because you don't have a choice, and sitting and relating that to everybody and speaking what you're thinking.
Amen.
Okay, so introduce yourself. We got to get to know you now as a person.
All right.
Scandals, everything included.
Ooh, okay. That's by a stoke. So my name's Sylvia Colville. I am an elder at Alberton Christian Fellowship and been born again since 1983. And somewhere along the line, the Lord said to me, okay, I want to teach you about the Bride of Christ. So that was like in 2004. So he started waking me up.
Yes.
Every night, waking me up, and I started writing the notes, researching it, studying it, getting a grip on it, because there wasn't anything about that at the time. So it took me 2 years. I was quick like that. Anyway, so it took me 2 years. And at the end of the 2 years, I had course material that I was able to then teach at church, which took me 3 months.
Right.
But at the end of the course, I knew that somebody else had been given the privilege of teaching the giftings. You know, now that you know who the Bride of Christ is, what about the giftings? Who are you? What is your gift? What is your talent? And how do you apply that? And so one of the pastors that were in my teachings, Pastor Marianne Hodgson, she then started the Deeper Lights Bible College at our church, which we ran for 11 years, all about the preparation of the bride. And at the end of the 11 years, the Holy Spirit said to me, Sylvia, you need to write the book. And I went, yeah, okay.
It sounds like a yaw more.
Yes, I'll start soon. Very soon. And then I didn't start soon, very soon. But then COVID happened. And in COVID, you're stuck in your room and you're stuck at home and you can't go anywhere. It was a great time to write the book. So, yes, finished the book at the end of COVID. Found an amazing publisher, Christian publisher. Such a great team to work with. And so there's my book. And now I have the privilege of going, the book's finished, yay. And then I realize the book won't go anywhere unless I market it. And so I had to learn to market it, and that's basically how it all started. So here we are, and now you have allowed me the privilege of coming to sit here and be a part of this. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Right. So now I'm wondering, because obviously you're a teacher.
Yes.
You like taking information and relating it in a relatable, understandable way to someone for them to understand, because this is a very important message.
Yes.
I love how you start this book with an invitation, a wedding invitation to a royal wedding. You are cordially invited to a wedding between Yeshua HaMashiach, that's Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, and the New Jerusalem, the Bride of Christ, that's moi, referring to Revelation 19, directions, everything. It's the Lord's fervent desire that you attend, and he will do whatever it takes to help you make the trip. Please make every effort to be there. Why did the Bride of Christ tickle you originally? Why was it something that, I mean, 2 years, that's a long time to spend on one theme.
The Bride of Christ, it is the most essential part of all of our being. You and I were created in his image. That's our purpose.
Mm.
That is our capacity. But we have spent so much time in the midst of salvation going, yes, I need to get saved because my sin is dragging me to hell. I'm under the power of darkness. So if I get saved, then I'm going to be transported into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And that's basically where everybody ends it. It's like, hey, I'm in the kingdom.
Yes.
I'm in the kingdom now. I'm in. You know, but nobody has actually said, well, there's a bigger purpose to this. You know, and that purpose is Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. And what God has determined, God is going to do. And so that's why the bride is so important to me. I needed to know more. If I've got to be ready for when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, I need to know what I need to do to be ready. You need to know that. Everybody needs to know that. It's not enough to just sneak in over the line and then stand there at the beginning, just after the cross and never growing. So that's what it's about. It's about going on a journey that prepares you, because from the cross, there is a journey that will take us to the culmination at the end, where we become the New Jerusalem, the Bride of Christ. But a lot of work has to happen in your life and my life. God has to transform us by the power of the Spirit.
Exactly. I'm thinking that your whole life culminates in that moment you stand before Him.
Yes.
Where it's weighed.
Yes.
Where what you spent your life on now counts.
Amen.
And if you had spent your life on everything everyone else spends their lives on, and you stand there and He says, it's that whole scripture that says your life is like wood or straw and it burns up in the fire. Nothing is left.
Yes.
What if you stand there and nothing counted? You spent your time getting money together so that you can send your family on holiday and you've got the nice house because this is what you need. But you stand before and it just blows up in the fire. Nothing counted.
Amen.
So what was your conclusion now? What is it that the Bride of Christ needs to be learning and doing while we're here on earth?
Okay. First of all, what you're saying about when you get there, you don't want to come there and be the skinny little spirit.
Yes.
You know.
Poor.
Poor. Exactly. The skinny, undeveloped spirit. It's about allowing Him to transform you. And so the journey that we go on is by the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, how amazing is it that God sends Jesus? Jesus actually redeems us from death, and then He reconciles us to the Father to restore our original purpose. All of that happened to restore our purpose. Let us make man in our image. And then God the Father sends the Holy Spirit down and says, okay, there you are now. You have the ability to be transformed. I can create you in my image now. And He sends us Jesus. Jesus is the way. He is the
example.
Not just the way of, He's not just the way of salvation, but He's also the Son of Man. He is the last Adam. He is our representative. And He is the one that is the express image of the Father. We see that in Hebrews 1, 1 to 3. He's the express image. As the Son of Man, He's the express image. And so when we look at Jesus, we understand. When we examine His life, we can see what that is all about. How I can be the express image of the Father. But if we're trying to do it in our own strength, then we are going to fail. Because it's not about behavior modification. It's about heart transformation.
So we're talking character here.
Yes.
Fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
We're talking that this is important. It's something He's working on, changing us into His image.
Absolutely.
Our character is also what we do with that character. Because now we start seeing through His eyes.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that's it. Hey? It's love. It's all about love. So falling in love with Him is what is the foundation for humility.
Mm.
And humility is the substructure for obedience. And obedience is what is the fruits, all of the fruits, all of our works and everything. But it all is founded in love. So the first thing is falling in love with Him.
Mm.
Because when you fall in love with Him, it is the love that is deposited in your heart that then becomes a reality in your expression to people around you. And that's how we become transformed by Him. It's He that does it.
Mm. Because that's a very important distinction now, because we can now read this and decide, okay, where's my list, my tick list? Number one, I need to handle my character. Number two, I need to do all these good deeds. Number three, I need to submit in church. Number four, you know, and tick them all off. But He's the one that starts the work in us, and He's the one that brings it to completion.
Amen.
But that's very hard for us, especially this Western mindset of a cause and an effect, and success looks this way.
Yes.
You know, we want to be able to complete something, but we get in the way of His work.
Yes, yes. And that is the hardest part. The hardest part is learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and to rest in that.
Mm.
Because your own opinions and your own experiences in life have created a construct within you that you live from. And you have to break through that construct to go, you know what, none of this actually matters, because only He knows. He knows the next step. And so I want to do what you want to do. Teach me, Holy Spirit. This is what I want to do, but what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And it's about our own will, surrendering our own will. But again, it's about love. And that love is developed in the secret place. You know, the one question that I've asked pastors is, when you look at your congregation, what is the temperature of their first love?
Do they love their God well?
Yeah, because look, that whole portion of scripture in Revelations 2, to the loveless church, Jesus is commending them. He's going, you guys are great. You're doing such a good job. I'm really impressed with you. You haven't denied my name. But one thing I have, and that is you've lost your first love. Mm-hmm. And think back to when you first got born again. I mean, when I stood in church, I cried over every person that got born again. I cried through the worship. I was so grateful for everything. I couldn't stop talking about the Lord. People, I used to have this I tell jokes to everybody. People would come to my office to listen to jokes. And then they came in the morning after I got born again. I couldn't tell a single joke, a foul joke ever again. But I went, oh, yesterday I was in church and this happened. And that's the result of first love.
Yeah.
So we have to get back to that. How much do you love him? Because out of that love, the power for everything else grows.
Mm.
Love is the foundation.
I'm thinking one thing that also happened that inspired a lot of this is how your daughter got married.
Yeah.
You're talking about now first love and what it looks like, you saw it firsthand.
Yes. So my daughter and her fiancé spent the whole of this year planning their wedding, and they are like two peas in a pod. They are two puzzle pieces that fit together, really God-inspired relationship. So this whole year, they've been planning that, and so much has gone into that, and Tammy's done all of her own wedding planning, and then I get like, Mom, look at this, which one should I do? That one, okay. And she was brilliant. Anyway, they got married not this last week, the weekend before. In Tilburg. What an awesome experience. But through that, you come to understand that there is nobody who can pitch on the day of the wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and say, I come, yeah, here I am. I'm sure you want
Ta-da.
Me. Yeah. And you haven't prepared for it at all.
Yeah.
You know, no,
it
we
is
need
intensive.
To do that now. Now is the time.
And also the passion with which she did it. That enthusiasm.
Yes.
And I'm asking myself so many times, how do I feel about God? How do I feel about Jesus? Am I in love with him still? You know?
Yes.
Does he fascinate me? Ooh. Can't I wait to see him again? Or is it this chore to go to church and this chore to do some, you know? I'm asking myself that because this whole thing, behold the bride, a bride is a radiant beauty.
Mm.
She loves preparing herself for her husband.
Yes.
And him as well for her. He looks forward to the time they spend together.
Absolutely.
It's not even, you don't even think about the effort it takes getting into the car, preparing. When you go buy the rose for the lady, you love doing that. It's not, when you give the money, I'm thinking every time we're asked to contribute to the church in some way, and we give it with such a, I actually need it for something else. I'm asking myself, according to your book, does he put on that money for the rose thinking, oh, this rose costs a lot? You don't.
No.
You don't. No. It's a heart condition, isn't
it? Absolutely. Absolutely. And every groom wants to know that his bride is passionate about him. Not so?
Mm.
And so that's really, when you look at the 10 virgins, the foolish and the wise, the wise are the passionate ones. They are watching for him. They're ready for him. They prepared their stuff. You know, the ancient Jewish wedding, that's how it was. How did the groom know that she was still waiting for him? Because he made the commitment and she drank the cup of wine and said, yes, I accept his marriage proposal. He leaves a whole lot of gifts and disappears to his father's house to go and prepare the room.
Yes.
But the only way he knows that she's still betrothed to him is when he comes past. Her little lamp is in the window and it's still, the oil's still there and it's burning. That's how he knows she's still waiting.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And so then, isn't that exactly what we need to be doing? So how full is your lamp? Are you ready?
Mm.
Are you watching? Are you waiting? Because he's coming for the bride that loves him.
One last thing. I see our time is just going. Can't stand it when it does that. But in any case, I want to ask you. If we become like the one we behold, if we're supposed to be passionate about this God that we serve, who, by the way, is spirit, not flesh,
yes,
which makes it a little harder to get to know him, how do we get to know him better?
You have to be able to get alone in the secret place. That's what you've got to do. You've got to establish a secret place. It's not about, I've got to read 16 scriptures and I've got to pray these prayers and everything else. There's got to be time when you just get aside with him, put on some worship music, listen to the music, let the music already bring you into the atmosphere so that you can remember how glorious he is. He's so magnificent, so kind. And when you do that, then he starts to communicate with you. For me, he communicates in pictures. So I will.
That was a picture girl.
It's so awesome. So I see this thing happening. I'm going, what is that, Holy Spirit? And then he drops the understanding of that, and it's always inspiring. And it's there might even be correction in it, but it's never harsh. It's always inspiring and filled with love. Mm. And that is what it is. Get alone with him. The secret place is absolutely important.
People need to get hold of us. Behold the Bride. It's your book, Sylvia Colville. How do they get hold of it?
They can get onto the website. It's www.sylviacolville.com.
Yeah, you're going to have to spell that. The Sylvia is different.
Okay, it's SYLVIACOLVILLE.com.
Right, sylviacolville.com. Social media, that kind of thing?
Yes, I do have Facebook and I have Instagram. But really, if they can just get onto my website, they can also get my phone number and just give me a call.
Sylvia Colville, Behold the Bride, Matthew 25, verse 4. But the wise virgins took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Do you have your oil burning in your window? Can God see it clearly? And does he know how passionate you are about him? I'm hoping that you're blessing him every single day when he looks at you.